As you're taking a seat there, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. Not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday previous, so I guess a couple Wednesdays ago, Dad and I, we had church here Wednesday night, and then we went up after church to the hospital to see my grandpa, who's there in the hospital as he was recovering from his knee surgery. And we left the hospital, I think about 10:30 or so that night. We were driving home on Route 50. We got to Route 23 there in Doddridge County. We turn off. Now, for those of you who don't know, Route 23 is a two-lane country road, pretty curvy, little road going out there. So we're there, and I was driving. I was in actually my grandpa's truck at that time. And we were driving out there, and we came around this one bend in the turn, and right in front of me was this massive buck. I mean, massive. It was, I'm not exaggerating, at least a 12-point buck. Beautiful spread. I mean, beautiful rack. Like almost one of those, you know, prize trophy bucks. And as I came around the turn, I saw it. He wasn't in the road, but he was like right on the kind of the gravel before the pavement starts, if you know what I'm talking about. He was just kind of standing there. Well, as I came around the turn, obviously I hit the brakes because I saw him. I didn't want to run into him. And he ran off somewhere. Well, off to the little right, there's a little gravel place there where you can kind of pull off a little bit. So what did I do? I pulled off, and I was trying to like swing around to where I could try to see if I could put my headlights, because there's a field there, and kind of see if I could see him again, because it was a beautiful, like I wanted to get another good look at it. And we did. We turned around. Nothing. We didn't see him. He probably is a smart buck and probably is like, there's a couple crazy people. I'm going to get out of here. And he just ran somewhere way off. But man, I tell you, when I came around that bend, I got a good look at that buck. I was like, oh man, that's a nice buck. I'd like to see that during deer season. You want to hitch your ride here on the truck and we'll take you down to old grandpa's farm and then we'll be good to go for hunt deer season. But I got a good look at it. But the message this morning that we're going to be looking at, the title of it is Take a Good Look. What I mean by that is this morning, in the light of Scripture, I want us to take a good look at our own hearts and our own lives and examine ourselves and see what we may need to change in our lives. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 John, the book of 2 John, right near the end of your New Testament this morning, if you go to Revelation and go back a few pages, you'll be there in the book of 2 John this morning. And as you're turning there, I'll give you kind of a little bit of the context and the background of the book of 2 John. The book of 2 John, it was written around AD 90 or so. The Apostle John is the human writer, the human penman of the book. And at this time that 2 John was written, there were a lot of false teachers at this time who did not believe in the deity of Christ. They would consider themselves Gnostics or things of that nature. So that's kind of the background of the book of 2 John. And we're introduced to really three different characters here in the book of 2 John in verse number 1. We'll go ahead and read that this morning. The 2 John, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." How many of you would agree with me this morning that this is an interesting way to open a book? We have the word elder, we have the word elect lady, and we have her children. Who in the world are these different people? Now, that's an age-old question that there's been a lot of debate with, but there's really not a lot of debate about who the elder is speaking of. That is speaking of the Apostle John. He calls himself an elder here. I believe Peter also calls himself an elder, and I believe in 1 Peter, kind of the beginning of that book. So we believe there's pretty much no question about who the elder is. That is the Apostle John. He's the human writer. And he's writing unto the elect lady and her children. I personally believe that the elect lady here that is referred to is referring to a specific local church, wherever it was, most likely in Ephesus, that the Apostle John was writing to. And when it says there, the elect lady and her children, I believe the children is speaking of the individual members of this local church. You say, well, why is that? And there's a bunch of debate on this. But one of the reasons why John could have written it to the elect lady and her children was he did not want to specifically mention a church, say he was writing to Oak Mound. He did not want to mention the word Oak Mound because of the persecution that was happening at the time. And if the letter fell into someone else's, you know, if you will, the wrong hands, then they would know, oh, he's writing to this church. We're going to go take care of these people. So that's one of the reasons. There's other different reasons. But I personally believe that the elect lady is speaking of a local church and her children is speaking to speaking of individual church members in the church. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read the whole epistle here of 2 John, 13 verses. I promise we're not going to be preaching all 13 verses, but to get a good idea of the book, let's go ahead and read verse number 1. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the true sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. I would like to draw your attention back to verse number 8 this morning. If you will look at verse number 8, that's where our title comes from this morning, where the Bible says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Would you mind reading that verse with me one more time, verse number 8? Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Thank you for reading with me. I appreciate that. We have this phrase, look to yourselves. It has the idea of to take heed to oneself, to look at, to examine closely, to pay close attention to something. In John here, he's trying to get across to this local church, hey, you better pay attention to your life. You better look to yourselves and examine yourselves this morning. Now, he's writing here to this local church, but the principle absolutely applies to our church, Oakmount, but to our individual lives as well. How many of you have either played Little League Baseball or had a family member who's played Little League Baseball? Raise your hand. All right, we've got a few folks in here. I grew up playing Little League Baseball. We played down in Williamstown and had a great time with that. There's something about Little League, just the fun of it, you know, the sunflower seeds and the springtime, just something about it. I love it. And recently, the Little League World Series happened. I don't know if maybe some of you saw it on TV. There is down in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, is where they host the Little League World Series. There, we've actually got to tour. They have like a little museum there. It's pretty cool to see all these, you know, little baseball fields. And recently, there was a game that took place against Nicaragua, and they were playing. Now, I'm going to get this wrong, I'm sure. I Googled it last night and just tried to get the pronunciation in my brain, but I've forgotten since last night. But I think it's Curacao or something like that. Some country somewhere in the world that's not here in the United States. I know that much, all right? But they were playing a game, and the guy from Curacao, or however you say it, was running to first base. And he ran to first base and was there, but the umpire called him out. And immediately the coach was like, no, challenge it, challenge it, challenge it. So they challenged it. So everybody, you know, ESPN, they've got all these different camera angles there, and they're looking here, all right, is he safe, is he out? And they have all these different close angles of it. Well, they looked at it, the umpire came out, and they called him safe. And, you know, that team was cheering, the other team was like, oh, man, you know, how all that goes. But here's the point. Everybody was focused intently on if he stepped on the base before the ball got there. Well, they took a close look at whether he was safe or out. Well, can I say, Christian, this morning that we need to take, if you will, a close look, like you would at a review at a baseball game, at our own lives this morning. The Apostle John, he's saying, hey, church, listen up. Look to yourselves. But the verse continues on. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. The word wrought means labored or worked hard at. And John here, it's interesting, he includes himself in this statement. So he was a part of the working of the things that they had wrought. So what were some of the things that the Apostle John and this church had labored in together? Well, we're not given all of the different specifics. Obviously, the whole epistle is only 13 verses. But I think we can say with confidence that this church and John had developed a close walk with God. They had worked on it. They had wrought. They had labored in developing a close walk with God. And can I say that if you're going to be close to God, it does take work. You're not just going to just get up one day and say, oh, I'm close to God. No, we have to put some effort into it. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. But hey, you need to draw nigh to God and put some effort into it. I think they had done that. They had a close walk with God. As we find later, I think they had a close relationship and love with each other. I think this was a close-knit church. And I think it was also a doctrinally solid church. It was a church not built on opinions or things, but built upon the Word of God. They had wrought many things. Remember, this is the early days of Christianity where persecution was rampant. And they had worked hard. They had labored. They had established a local church here. And the Apostle John is saying, hey, look to yourselves, examine yourselves. Remember, there's false teachers going on around here, that we lose not those things which we had wrought. John didn't want them to lose what they had worked so hard to build. And if you look at that last phrase here of verse 8, it says, but that we receive a full reward. The idea of a full reward is a complete reward that lacks nothing. And John here wanted this local church to receive the reward. Now again, we're not given the specifics of what this reward is. A lot of people think that it could be referring to the crown of rejoicing that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And if you've been in Sunday school, we've learned about the different crowns. Maybe it's speaking of one of those. Maybe it's speaking about a different reward. We're not exactly sure. But regardless, there was a reward that this local church and John could get. And John didn't want them to lose this reward. So he's saying, hey, don't lose a reward. Examine yourselves. Take a good look at your lives. So let's kind of take a step back here a minute. Do we kind of get the picture of what's happening? John here is writing to this local church, and he's telling them, hey, look to yourselves, examine yourselves. I don't want you to lose these rewards. Well, with the Lord's help, in the next few minutes, we're going to look back. Now, you'll be happy about this. I actually, this morning, I've shortened the sermon. All right? I originally had 4 points, but I felt the Lord wanted me to kind of go with 3 points and say that last one, maybe for another message someday here, if Dad will let me, all right? So, hey, I know what time it is, all right? So I'm not going to keep you here past 2 o'clock, I promise, all right? So maybe if somebody wants, if I just keep preaching long to order pizza or something, we can bring it in here, we can have it after church, all right? No, we will not be that long. But the Apostle John here gives us a few areas. We're going to look at 3 areas this morning that the Apostle John gives that we can look to ourselves, if you will, that we can examine our church, examine our individual lives in light of the Word of God. The first truth that we need to take a good look at is our walk of truth. Our walk of truth. Look back at verse number 4 where the Bible says this. John writing, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children, again, the children of this church, so the individual church members, what were they doing? Walking in truth. Walking in truth. Walking, it's your way of life, the way that you live your day-to-day lives. These early Christians, they lived their lives, they walked daily in truth. Now, it's very interesting that this, the word walking, it's a participle, and the tense indicates continual action. It's not something that they did one time on Sundays. Well, I tell you, they walked in truth today, but tomorrow, boy, they didn't walk in truth. No. These early Christians, they were constantly, continuously walking in truth. Now, you say the age-old question, what is truth? Well, 2 things that I know truth is. Jesus is truth. We find that very clearly in John 14, 6, where the Word of God says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, say it with me, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. But the Word of God is truth as well. We find that very clearly in John 17, 17, where the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So John here, he was commending these believers. He rejoiced greatly that they were walking in truth. They were walking in light of the Lord Jesus himself and the light of the precepts of God's word. These Christians were daily walking in truth. 3 John verse number 4, if you'd go to the next book, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, it brought joy to John that these early believers were walking in truth. And can I say that it brings joy to Pastor Steve over here whenever you walk in truth? It does. Whenever Doug said, oh boy, that person over there, boy, there's somebody who's walking in truth. That Jerry over there, he's walking in truth. He's doing what's right. Hey, that Larry back there, he's walking in truth. Boy, that's great. That encourages your pastor. But can I say the opposite happens when we don't walk in truth? Oh boy, old so-and-so hadn't been in church for a month. Or, oh boy, did you hear what they did? I tell you what, that brings discouragement. If you want to be an encouragement to your pastor, to other ministry leaders, and hey, just to everybody else in the congregation, walk in truth every single day. I think something that is pretty much with this concept of walking in truth is the word faithfulness. You can put that over so many things, but faithfulness. These Christians were faithful Christians, where they simply did what they knew to do was right. They kept walking in truth day after day after day. You know, I got thinking back to college life and those 7 a.m. classes in the morning. Oh, what a joy. And dorm life with all these other guys and your roommate whose alarm goes off at 5 a.m., but he doesn't get up until 7 o'clock or something like that. It just keeps going on. It's like, would you please be quiet and shut up your alarm? And the wonderful cafeteria food, it actually was pretty good. But, you know, the college life. I got to thinking about that. You know, to get through college and to get your degree, you have to every day, you have to just get up, go to class, study hard, take a test, get up the next day, go to class, eat more cafeteria food, take another test, and it just kind of repeats itself. And eventually, you get to the end and you get this piece of paper that's your diploma that says you graduated. But hey, that's how we need to be, if you will, with our walk of truth. Every day, if you will, getting up, going to that 7 a.m. class, eating the same old cafeteria food, but every day just doing what we know to do is right. Reading the Word of God, praying, coming to church. That's how we build a daily consistent life of walking in truth. Can I ask you, Christian, this morning, are you walking in truth? Is your life characterized by walking in truth? These early believers were, and it brought joy to the Apostle John. Number one this morning, take a good look at your walk of truth. Number two this morning, your love for others. Your love for others. Look at verse number 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, again, the church, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. John here, he's encouraging this church to simply love one another. I know this is baseline Christianity, but it was a command. He said, hey, it's not a new commandment unto you, but that which we've had from the beginning. Hey, you know this, simply love one another. And can I commend you? I think we truly do have a true, genuine, deep love for one another. Not every church can say that. But I think each one of us, now hey, there may be times when somebody says something that offends you or something happens. But hey, when things like that happen, still love one another despite things that may happen. Oh, Ryan, you don't know what old Bobby told me last week. I tell you, I'm not speaking to her for another month. Or I tell you what, did you see what that person brought to the Women's Mission and Men's Fellowship? That food was terrible. I just tell you what, I'm not going to talk to that person again. Or whatever it may be. Hey, despite the same, simply love one another. Love is essential in a church, but in our families, in every part of life, love is essential. Hey, we may disagree over something. Hey, the color of the carpet. Say, let's just hypothetically, we're going to change the color of the carpet. And somebody, Mr. Cross over here, says it should be gray. Jerry says it should be green. Cheryl says it should be blue. Linda says it should be whatever color she likes over there. Hey, you know what? I've heard of silly things like that dividing churches. That should not divide a church. Simply, okay, maybe agree to disagree, but we're going to move on forward to the glory of God. We're going to simply love one another and move on for God. Don't let silly little things divide us. Now, when it comes to doctrine and say Jesus is God, and somebody says, no, Jesus is God, now that's, we do need to take a stand. But again, grace and truth. We need to have truth, but we also need to have love. If you get whacked out one way or the other, that's going to cause problems. And John here is encouraging this church to simply love one another. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. 1 John 4:11, just back of one book here, I love this verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let that sink in. Boy, if God loved me so much to forgive me of all my sin, of all my failures, I should be able to forgive my brother who maybe wronged me. Don't get this, Christian. Don't hold bitterness in your heart over what somebody has done to you. Forgive that person and love that person. If you have bitterness in your heart or just a grudge or, man, I just can't love that person, Maybe right now there's somebody that you're like, I just can't love that person, or they've done something wrong. Maybe at church, maybe out in the world. I just can't love that person. Can I encourage you, Christian? Help with it. Pray for them. Pray for them. I don't think you're going to hate somebody that you're genuinely praying for. And you may even have to say, Lord, I really don't like this person, but God, would you please give me to help me to be able to forgive them and help me to truly love this person the way you want me to. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes people do things and stab you in the back, and it's like, what in the world? But hey, simply love one another. It's a command that we are given here from the Apostle John. Over this summer, as I kind of mentioned earlier, we went out as a D.C. Gospel Outreach team on a lot of the weekends on Sundays to different local churches in the D.C. area. And this one Sunday, we were at, it's Tabernacle Baptist Church in Manassas, Virginia. It's actually July 5th, I believe, so the day after July 4th or whatever that Sunday was. So we had got, like, hardly any sleep that night, you know, because we had to leave at, like, I think 7 a.m. We got back at the apartment at 3 o'clock. We had to get showered. So you know what happened. Well, we got 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And then we're supposed to go to this church and minister, which, you know, not complaining. I loved it. But we get to this church. It was a big day for them. It was Patriotic Sunday. So, you know, singing all these patriotic songs. Dr. Bill Gray had a great message on, you know, something about our country and, you know, living for God or whatever he's preaching on. And then they had a big afternoon plan. They had inflatables for the kids and, you know, a potluck dinner and just a big old day. So they had good food and we're there. And, you know, we tried to mix and mingle with the different. We had five folks that were with us from a D.C. Gospel Outreach team. So we kind of spread out and get to know the different people in the church. And we don't want to just stay as a cluster. So we spread out, myself and Nate, we were together. There was a guy across from us and he was not saying a word. I mean, he wasn't like rude, but I mean, he just wasn't saying a word. Like, how are you doing today? Good. Boy, the food, I tell you, this fried chicken's good stuff, isn't it? Yep. And I mean, just like, couldn't get anything out of this guy. So, you know, we're trying to just ask him some questions, you know, try to let him open up a little bit. Would he have any children? You know, whatever questions we were asking. Well, I don't know what we said, but this guy woke up, he was done with his food, something happened. But he started talking and talking and talking. And I tell you, I'm not exaggerating, for the next hour, we sat there across from the table listening to this guy. And, I mean, we couldn't get a word in. He just kept talking. He actually owned a business. He was like a plumber. And he had all these employees. And he started talking about his employees and different things. And then he started talking about politics. And he started talking about this and that and the other thing. And we're just there, you know, we're just kind of, you know, just nodding our head. And, I mean, try to be friendly and stuff. We're like, we kind of got, you know, try to get out of this conversation a little bit. So I pulled a slick one there. I was like, well, if you'll excuse me a second, I got to get a refill. So then Nate here stuck talking with this guy. Well, I went and got a refill. Then I went back, and anyway. So we finally got away from this guy. He was a fine guy, don't get me wrong. But it's kind of like, you know, we're tired, we're exhausted. We really don't want to be talking to this guy for an hour. And it's like, to be honest with you, it's a little bit hard to love that guy in the moment. It's like, can we please just get on with this conversation? But hey, in spite of somebody who may talk you off in church, we simply need to love one another. We all have our little idiosyncrasies that something may annoy us, but in spite of those, simply love one another as we are commanded right here in verse number 5. So we need to take a good look at number 1, our walk of truth, number 2, our love for others, and number 3, and lastly this morning, our love and obedience to God. Again, baseline Christianity. Look at verse number 6. We have a great definition of love, and this is love, what that we walk after his, speaking of God's commandments. This is the commandment that as you've heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Christian, we need to love God. Now, I think all of us today would be here, oh yeah, I love God, absolutely. But do we truly love God when the rubber meets the road? What really is the definition here? This is love that we walk after his commandments. Get it this morning. If we truly love God, it will result in obedience to God. Let me say that again. If we truly love God, it will result in obedience to God. I think, as I said just a minute ago, we always say we love God, but do we truly? Does our lives show forth that? I sure hope so. You know, we're commanded to come to church, to live a holy life, to share the gospel, to be a witness, to tithe and to give, and as we just looked at, to love one another. But can I say, if you're not doing those things, you need to take a good look at your true love for God. It's more than just saying it. The rubber needs to meet the road somewhere here, folks. And we need to love God. If we're not obeying the commands the Lord gives, we do not love God the way we should. I say that as kind as I can. But it's one thing to have an I Love Jesus t-shirt. It's another thing to actually live, if you will, practical Christianity day in and day out. I'm tired of Christians who say that they love God, but yet they're living just like the world. That ought not to be. There's something wrong there. There's a disconnect because a person who truly loves God will obey his commandments. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. A person who loves God will truly want to obey and to please God in everything that they do. And again, we're never going to be perfect, but our lives should be characterized by a life of obedience to our great God. You know, I don't have it in my notes or even on the screen, but there's a verse somewhere that talks about, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. But how many times do I disobey the Lord? How many times do I fail God? Really, what that's doing is that's revealing a lack of true love for the Lord in my heart. Because if I love God the way I should, I'm not going to want to do whatever that sin is. Because I must obey the Lord. There's a few times this summer in D.C. where, you know, we'd be talking with people, and whether we were at the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, Capitol, wherever we were at on the National Mall as visitors or circling around, you know, we'd try to engage people, you know, try to, you know, give them a John and Romans or whatever. And a lot of times a T-shirt or a polo or a ball cap would be a great way to connect with people, whether it was a sports team or just whatever it said. You know, say, oh man, nice shirt, I like that. There was multiple times this summer where I would say somebody had on a West Virginia shirt. And I'd go up to him and say, hey man, West Virginia shirt. It's like, I'm from West Virginia or whatever. And the guy just kind of looks at you and is like, kind of funny. I'm like, you know, like your shirt that you have on. And he kind of looked down, like, oh man, I just like the colors of the shirt. I don't know what it's talking about. And you just kind of scratch your head. You're like, what? It's like you'd think if you'd have on a certain team's jersey, you would kind of support that team and kind of know a little bit about that team, just a little bit. But get it this morning. A lot of times people have on an I Love Jesus shirt, but yet their lives are like, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, I love that guy. When the rubber really truly meets the road. And can I say to a lost and dying world, whenever they see a person who's a, quote, a Christian, but yet they're not living like it, they have the T-shirt, but their life sure doesn't look like it, they say, boy, there's nothing but a hypocrite over there. If that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want no part of that. Christian, it's important that we truly love God, a true love for God that says, you know what? Yeah, my flesh may want to do such and such. Yeah, my flesh may want to talk bad about so-and-so. Yeah, my flesh may want to just punch so-and-so. But you know what? I love God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, as we learn in Sunday school, I'm not going to hurt my testimony. I'm going to do what is right because I truly do love God. Christian, we've looked at three areas this morning. Three areas. How are you doing this morning? Are you taking a good look? I sure hope that this morning we take a good look at our lives this morning. We looked at, you know, what is your walk of truth like? Are you walking in truth? Is your life characterized by a daily walk of truth? What's your love for others like? I sure hope, boy, you can say, I love that person. And what's your love for God like? Do you truly love God the way you should? Does your life of what you say match what you actually do? I sure hope so. If we look one more time at verse number 8, where the Word of God says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Can I say this morning that I don't want Oakmont, I don't want us as individuals to, if you'll lose that reward. We've worked hard. We've labored to get to this point in our lives. Don't lose those things. Don't throw it away. Keep doing what you know to do is right. Love God. Love people. Do what's right. Walk in truth every single day. And one day, good Lord willing, whenever we reach glory, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to receive those crowns that we've been learned about and rewards. I want to get those things. I want that for you as well. But it's not going to happen if we don't follow what we just looked at this morning. And walk in truth. Love others, and love God this morning. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Dad to come and close out the invitation however he sees fit. But Father, I sure do love you, and I thank you so much, Lord, just for the faithfulness of your people this morning to come today. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word and the power that your word has. And Father, I pray that you help each one of us truly to take a good look at ourselves, look to ourselves, and Lord, help us to examine our lives in light of your word. And God, help us to walk in truth every single day, day in and day out. Help us to love other people whenever they may do things against us. Help us to constantly love them no matter what. And help us to love you, which results in an obedience to you, Father. Lord, we love you. Bless the invitation now, we pray in Jesus' name.